The game of business is competitive and always changing. So what happens when you fail to adapt? You go the way of the dodo.
Adapt and thrive.
Now, there's nothing funny about losing your competitive edge.
Keep your business from becoming a thing of the past.
Welcome to Secrets of Business Gurus.
Adapt and thrive.
Your host is Lee Sauls, also known as the Sales Dodo.
Welcome back to another installment of Secrets of Business Gurus. I'm Lee Sauls, CEO of Business Expert Webinars, and your host for today's show. Many of you know me as the Sales Dodo, as I help business professionals to improve their game and avoid the same peril of the flawed dodo bird from ages ago. Don't laugh. There's nothing funny about business people losing their competitive edge due to their inability to adapt to change. Hey, the dodo wasn't an inane bird. It just couldn't adapt to its environment and became extinct. And you'll suffer the same fate as the dodo if you don't adapt. In business, this means a never-ending quest to enhance your knowledge. And we're here to help. We're going to help keep your knowledge fresh on cutting-edge topics that will help you in your business career. Get your pen ready, and here we go. On our last show, our guest was Sam Richter, who talked about taking the cold out of cold calling so we'll be better prepared for a sales call. Quite frankly, he scared me to death with all the information that's readily available on the net. I think I'm going to go back to paper and pencil. My goodness. Anyway, nevertheless, this is the information world, so it is going to stay on the net, and we're going to go one step further. Today, we're going to take that knowledge, and we're going to put it to some use, and we're going to work on scheduling appointments with qualified prospects, and we're going to learn this from the creator of the Blitz experience, Andrea Sittig-Rolf. Andrea is the author of three books, with the third coming out in October, titled Power Referrals, the Ambassador Method for Empowering Others to Promote Your Business and Do the Selling for You. Andrea helps sales organizations inspire change, maximize sales, and increase bottom line results. Business savvy with a passion for people, she understands how to help salespeople to be their best and has what it takes to inspire them. Andrea is a successful entrepreneur. She's not only teaching it, she's doing it. She's an author, a sales trainer, and is in high demand as a speaker and a workshop leader. She's the founder and president of Sittig Incorporated and the creator of the Blitz experience. And we're going to be talking Blitz today. We'll learn all about it. Welcome to the show, Andrea.
Thanks. Happy to be here.
Oh, we're glad you're with us. So let's talk about that new book that's coming out, Power Referrals, the Ambassador Method for Empowering Others to Promote Your Business and Do the Selling for You. There had to be some inspiration behind this, Andrea. What made you write it?
Well, you know, I have clients that would continue to promote my business and not only endorse me and recommend me, but they would actually sort of, especially one particular client who is a large high-tech manufacturing company that goes to market through channels, they would be out and promoting my program to their partners and say, you know, not only is this a fabulous program, the Blitz experience to increase your sales, but oh, by the way, you know, we as your manufacturing company will pay for it. So it was kind of a step above just the referral of, oh, this is great, but it was, you know, really selling it. And so by the time I got involved in the process of the sale, it was practically a done deal.
Wow. So again, you're not just teaching this, you're living it.
Yes, absolutely. And it sort of happened by accident. I didn't even realize, you know, what I was doing. I thought, why am I just being bombarded with all these calls and all these people that want to sign up for the Blitz experience? Because I personally, I wasn't the one that was making all those calls, you know, making all those sales calls, doing all those presentations. In other words, I was getting more business than pitches I was doing alone. And so I thought, well, how is that possible? And then I started to realize that it was my customers who were such fans of the program that they were out sharing it with other people and pretty much walking them through the whole sales process. And so, you know, these people would call and say, yeah, I understand that we're supposed to do a Blitz experience with you, and, you know, where do we send the check, and what dates do you have available? I mean, that was pretty much my pitch was telling them when I was available. That was it.
Nothing better than, where do I send that check?
Yeah, oh, exactly. How do I get on your calendar? Well, you send me a check, and then we'll talk about it.
That is the best way to do it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me, so what's in the book? What do you teach us in the book?
Well, one of the things that I teach is called ACT, which is an acronym for Acquire, Cultivate, and Teach. your ambassadors how to promote you and your business. So I'm a big fan of acronyms because I think it helps us all, you know, learn and remember better. So the acquisition part of finding ambassadors is just, you know, developing those relationships, and your customers are a great place to start because they already know you, like you, trust you. So you go out and first you acquire the ambassadors, then you cultivate, and a lot of that is just, you know, building that relationship, building trust, doing a great job for them, and then finally teaching them. So I even include in my book and what I call the Ambassador Toolkit, which is a list of all the things that you can provide to your ambassadors so you make it even easier for them to promote you. And so that's where the teaching part comes in, is that you proactively teach and make it very easy for the ambassadors to promote you when you're not even there.
Well, Angie, you mentioned something important, doing a great job. And so if I'm a salesperson, I'm listening to this, and I say, okay, what does doing a great job for someone mean so that they will become referenceable?
Well, a lot of the basics, just doing what you say you're going to do, you know, following through on promises and commitments, showing up to meetings on time, doing the follow-up, making sure that the customer's happy with the results that you've provided. Just all of those things that I guess to you and me may seem like, you know, kind of a duh, but, you know, maybe not everybody understands how important that is. And, you know, a lot of times salespeople are really, really good at the sale part. You know, that's where they're gifted. Maybe they're not as good at the organizational, you know, admin stuff. And so it's all of those things together, the good customer service and making sure the person's happy with what you've done and the accountability and the responsibility and all of those things. Because one of the things about developing these ambassador relationships, and I've heard this, you know, over and over again from people, is that when you provide a product or service for them that makes them look good, then they're even more likely to continue to promote you, because it's all about them. You know, you want them to feel like they've found this little golden nugget, like this well-kept secret, and you sort of make them look like a hero, and then you're sort of behind the scenes. You let them take all the credit for discovering you, but mm-hmm. in order for them to feel that way, then you have to do just an awesome job.
You know, one of the things I find that salespeople don't always recognize when we talk about the whole concept of a referral and building that relationship is, number one, just because someone's not spending money with you yet doesn't mean they can't be a referral.
Right.
That if you're creating value for that individual, then you earn the right to ask for a referral. One of my favorite questions to ask salespeople, and I always put referrals and references in the same breath because it's the same point in the process when you can ask for either of those. And I'll ask the group, I'll say, okay, so when in the entire buying process is it appropriate to ask for a reference or a referral? Because there's only one time then you can ask it, and you can imagine they say, well, after a good first meeting, when the contract's signed, when the order ships, when they're really happy. And I said, across the board, nope, that's not it. It's when you've earned the right to ask for it.
Right.
That is the only time that you can ask for this. And so if you've created tremendous value for someone, even though they haven't spent a nickel, maybe you introduce them to another organization that can help them in their business, then you've earned the right to start asking for referrals.
Right. Well, you make a good point when you say, even if you haven't sold them anything, even if it's not about your direct relationship in terms of, you know, customer vendor, there are so many ways that you can be of value to other people, whether it's networking, making introductions, helping them find a job, you know, any of those things. If you've provided some kind of value in some way, you know, then there's the other thing. This is actually part of what I talk about in the book, is something called the rule of reciprocity. You know, when you've helped somebody and genuinely provided value, it's human nature for them to almost feel obligated to do something in return. But I also suggest going into these relationships without expecting anything in return. You know, it's about just doing a fantastic job and, like you said, earning the right to ask for the referral, and it will just come back naturally.
You know, and one of my favorite stories to tell salespeople, I do a lot of work with organizations and helping them to understand that little changes in their approach can have huge, huge impact on their results. And one of the things I talk about is the whole concept of referrals. And I take them back to elementary school and imagine two classrooms side by side. And the first teacher finishes the lesson and looks at the class and says, "Any questions?" And of course, right, no one raises their hand. Then across the hall, another class finishes the lesson at the same time, and the teacher says to the group, "What questions do you have?" And spends the next 30 minutes answering questions. And now they were both equally proficient in teaching. It was how the question was asked. And so one of the things that I find with salespeople is when they ask for referrals, they say, "Hey, do you know anybody who might be interested in what we do," or something like that?
Right.
And of course the person says, "Well, not off the top of my head, but if I think of someone."
Yeah.
And so one of the things that I try to help salespeople to do is just change it, just to tweak a little bit and say, "Who do you know?"
Right.
"Who would be of interest?" And it's amazing. It's just that tiny tweak, that tiny adjustment, all of a sudden you start getting referrals.
Right, right. Well, and it's the difference between a closed-ended and an open-ended question, right? When you're
right.
asking a question that's a yes-no answer, you know, "Do you know anybody?" That's closed-ended, and they can say no. But "Who do you know?" is open-ended. The other thing that I'll sort of add to that, one of the sort of tricks that I've done that's worked really well, and you have to kind of visualize this, when you ask for referrals and you say, you know, "Who else do you know who might benefit from my product or service?" And this is, you know, ideal if you're sitting in front of the person, you're, you know, face-to-face. You get out a piece of paper, and you write on the piece of paper, you write the numbers 1, 2, and 3, you know, vertically down the page. And when they give you the first referral, you write it in space number 3.
Oh, neat.
Because what that does is it sort of, it makes that that person feel like, "Oh, well, I need to complete this list." So you go 3, 2, 1 versus 1, 2, 3. If you start with 1, they might say, "Oh, well, that's all I have." But there's something psychological about starting with filling in the blank number 3, and it's, "Oh, okay, well, then I still have 2 more referrals I need to put on that list."
And how do you feel about referral programs where companies compensate their clients or even prospects for generating referrals for them?
You know, I'm kind of torn. I mean, part of me thinks that could be, you know, a good idea, but the other part of me just thinks it's almost better to do that without compensation, because I think the value is more credible when somebody refers you because you're great at what you do versus because they're getting paid.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I'm very torn on it. I can see why a company would do it, because it certainly generates a number of leads, and they should be good leads, although I've had a number of experiences where I've seen companies put those programs in place and they think they're getting good qualified leads and they find out someone just wanted to get the prize.
Well, right. And I mean, if you are going to do that, then the person really shouldn't be compensated till the deal's closed.
Right, right.
Yeah, because otherwise then you're just, you know, if somebody goes into a phone book and says, "Here you go, good luck with these," you know.
Okay, so I'm a salesperson. And I've got a choice. I can sit there and pound the phones all day long and cold call in this wonderful economic climate we have today, or I can generate referrals. I'm going to guess if I put 100 salespeople in a room, 100 of them are going to say, "I'd rather cultivate referrals." And so you talked about ACT, and so we only talked about acquire, so why don't we talk about cultivate?
Okay. Well, the cultivating piece is, that does actually tie in with the whole cold calling thing, and I think people may be surprised by my answer that I think cold calling is still an effective way to build a business, because my third book is about referrals, but I make a living teaching people how to be effective at cold calling. So that's probably where this cultivate piece comes in. You've got, the relationships have to start somewhere, and it's great to have a pipeline that's, you know, part of it is from referrals, but another part of it should be cold calling, and you never want to lose the edge and that skill set of cold calling. If you're really good at it, you'll always have a job, and you'll always have a full funnel. And especially in a climate like it is now, this economic climate, it's really important to be proactive. So that's where the cultivating piece can come in, is making those calls, starting those relationships. Maybe you want to call down your list of clients and the relationships you have and empower them to help help bring you new prospects. So, and that's all just a part of cultivating those relationships.
Okay. And then the T is teach?
Yes. So teaching them how to promote you. And the other T could actually be tools. It's one thing to just say, you know, "Hey, I hope you'll recommend me to people as you're out and about." But one of the things that I do is my Blitz Experience program is based on the concepts that I write about in my second book, which is the 7 keys to effective business-to-business appointment setting. So what I do is I give my ambassadors a copy of that book and say, you know, "Share this with your partners, share this with your customers, anybody that you think is a prospect for the Blitz experience, and just kind of thumb through the book with them and say, look, these are some of the techniques that are taught during the program. So I share that. That's a tool that makes it easy for them to promote me, and it also gives credibility that, you know, this person's written a book. Here are some of the tools and things and techniques that will be taught during the program. And then the other thing I share is a video. I have a 5-minute video of the Blitz experience in action, which is an interview between Gerhard Schwander, the founder of Selling Power magazine, and myself. He's asking me about the Blitz program, and as I'm talking about it, it cuts to footage from a live Blitz experience. It's a 5-minute video, so I burn that onto a flash drive, send that to my ambassadors, say, you know, hey, next time you're sitting in your partner's office, it's a candidate for the Blitz experience, pop this into the computer and watch this 5-minute video. Brochures, you know, that's another great tool. So just anything that you can give your ambassadors, teach them and how to promote you. Make it easy for them.
We're talking with Andrea Sittig-Rolf about power referrals. Coming up later in the show, we'll be talking about the Blitz experience, and you won't want to miss that. So, Andrew, you know, again, I come back to referrals and references coming together. And as I hear you talking about what you teach salespeople about referrals and teaching their clientele on how to be a referral, you know, it's the same thing when you talk about a reference, right? You don't come out of the womb knowing how to be a referenceable client.
Right.
And so often salespeople just say, hey, can I just use your name? Sure, you can use my name. And then keep your fingers crossed because you have no idea what this person's going to say
right.
when that person happens to get a phone call.
Right.
So let's talk about the Blitz. I mean, the visual of the Blitz is so tremendous. You know, I just have this vision of this room and everyone hitting the phones at the same time. So how did you even get the idea of having this the Blitz experience?
This was actually something that I did as a sales manager. I was working for a data cabling company that was headquartered out of Austin, Texas. And I was charged with building and maintaining and growing the sales team in Seattle and Portland. And I would just do this. I would just say, you know what, let's get on the phone, let's make some calls, we'll get some vendors involved, and we'll have prizes, it'll be competitive. And my whole thing was really, it was just a fun way to fill the pipeline with new leads and opportunities. And it was a fun way to do an activity that salespeople despised, you know, cold calling, but I thought it was a necessary part of building the funnel. And so one day I get a call out of the blue from my boss in Austin, and he says, what is going on in the Northwest? And my first thought was, oh, no, I'm in trouble again. You know, what did I do? And he says, no, he says, your numbers are phenomenal. You know, I'm just looking at the United States and across the board and across the different regions, and the Northwest is really on fire. What's going on? I said, I'm just doing this Blitz thing, and I kind of explained what I was doing, and he was so impressed and said, well, keep up the good work. You know, I can see the results in the bottom line. That I got off the phone with him, and I had chills, and I thought, oh, my gosh, I could package this thing and give it a cool name and start selling it to other companies. So the Blitz experience was born. The funny thing is the next call was to my fiance at the time. He's my husband now, so at least he married me after the news, because I said, guess what? I quit my job today. I'm going to do this Blitz thing full time. And, you know, he just thought I was crazy. Of course, that was 6 years ago, and I'm making a living doing exactly what I love. And he just shakes his head. He's like, how are you doing this? You know, it's not fair that you get to go have so much fun and you get paid for it.
Well, you know, you said something, again, that I think is so important, that you didn't go into the laboratory, if you will, and innovate this. This was something that you did yourself as someone that was running sales and saw how it worked and the power it has with a team.
Right.
And I think that is just so important when you talk about working with other organizations. Say, hey, you know, I didn't make this up. I've done it. It works.
Right.
And it's interesting. I used to do something similar where I would have all of my sales folks, and they were all across the country, and we would pick an hour a week, and we'd say, email is off, put your phone on call forward, and we're all going to do cold calling. And we have contests and prizes and who's set the most new appointments, etc. And then to make it fun, and you touched upon that with making it fun, because I think that's so important for managers to recognize, is you need your team to be fired up. It's got to be fun.
Right.
And cold calling, the thought of it, make salespeople cringe, right? And so anything you can do to make the activity fun, because it is critical. I mean, you said at the outset that you're a firm believer in cold calling. Well, you can't get away from it. It's the life's blood of a salesperson, yet it's also something you dread.
Right. Yeah. And I don't claim to be the inventor of the sales blitz. I mean, obviously, sales blitzes have been around forever. And so all I did was really improve upon a concept that was already out there. But what I did was I put structure to it. I made it fun. I made it competitive. You know, I added all these components that really made it a complete package of training and doing and training and doing. Because not only do the salespeople learn valuable techniques on how to get past gatekeepers and leave voicemails that get returned and how to overcome objections, but then throughout the day, there are 4 one-hour calling sessions where they're practicing what they've learned and they're setting real appointments with real prospects. And of course, the clients love it because, yeah, there's an investment, a significant investment for me to come do the training, but my gosh, you get 10 to 20 times back that investment in revenue as a result of the appointments that were set during the training. It's kind of a no-brainer.
So it's really more of a workshop format.
It is. And I really wish that there was another phrase besides sales training to explain it, because people hear sales training and they think PowerPoint, you know, seminar, I'm going to lecture, you know, all of, they think they know what it is, and really sales training doesn't do this program justice. And one of my clients was really funny. He said, you know, because the other thing people think it is telemarketing, and that's not what it is either, but one of my clients said, you know, calling your program telemarketing is like calling a Mercedes a car.
Oh, that's true.
And I was like, okay, I like that. It's like the Mercedes of, you know, cold calling.
Well, I'm going to guess if you're creative enough to come up with the Blitz experience, sometime in the next couple of weeks, you're going to have a new name to replace sales training for what you do.
Yes, I'm going to have to. And so far, I'm just calling it activity-based sales training. But yeah, there's got to be a better phrase, even if I have to make up a new word.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. What was that HBO show with the Sniglets where they used to make up words? So you could absolutely do that.
Well, yeah, and I have a friend, I don't know, he probably didn't make it up. There's probably other people that have used the word infotainment, information and entertainment.
Well, and that's what they say. Anybody that does keynote speaking, it's the two E's. It's educate and entertain.
Right.
It's got to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things I enjoy doing when I'm kicking off one of my keynote speeches is I have all of the salespeople in the room stand up, and I say, you know, I'm really into this fitness thing. I'm in the gym at 5 a.m. every day, and so I'd like to start my session off with a little exercise. And I have them extend their right arm, extend their left arm, fold their right arm, fold their left arm, so that they're standing there with their arms folded. Then I tell them to sit down. And I said, we might as well get that out of the way up front, because you're going to be sitting there with your arms folded anyway.
Right.
You know, so again, you have to make it fun, or you're just not going to reach people.
Right.
So we really talked a lot about salespeople. What about as a small business owner? Is there anything that you would highly recommend that I be doing as a small business owner?
Yeah. One of the phrases that comes to mind when I think about my own business and other businesses out there and other small business owners is the phrase money buckets. And what I mean by that is you really need to have multiple streams of revenue for your business. So, you know, if you have one thing that you do and you're really good at and that's your core competency, that's great. But if it's affected by the economy at all, then you need to have some other things to kind of fall back on. So, for example, in my own business, you know, I've written books, so there's a revenue stream from royalties from books. I'm affiliated with, as you know, a company called Candugo, and that pays some royalties and some things like that. You know, business expert webinars, you know, being a part of doing webinars and having that generate income. And so just having different, and even if it's not a lot of income, but just some different areas where you've got some incoming revenue that especially if it doesn't require you to physically be there, then that can be really powerful over time.
Yeah, that is so important. I mean, having, I guess, using the visual of the fisherman, having a lot of lines in the water with different bait and see which one catches the fish.
Right.
Or at least the biggest fish. Catch little ones, catch big ones, but at least catch fish.
Right, exactly.
So you have your third book coming out. And so when you think of where your career is and looking at it in relation to being a published author, I know myself, I have some thoughts on this, but being a published author, what has that done for you as someone that's in this business?
Well, it's interesting because when people find out that I'm published, I think there's the thought of, oh my gosh, you must be making all this money from, you know, being published and from getting all these big royalties. And I just laugh and say, well, no, actually, you know, I mean, I write nonfiction and I write what I know. But my whole reason for becoming published was not to make money as an author, although that's a nice, you know, sideline. It was mainly to increase my rate as a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So what being published does, whether it's books or magazine articles or, you know, newspaper articles, whatever it is, just being published gives credibility to you as an expert in your field. And I literally, when my first book came out, the next day I doubled my rate as a sales trainer, and nobody blinked an eye because suddenly I was published and, oh, okay, she really knows her stuff. She's published, and so she's got credibility. So that's the key point of being published, is what it allows you to do in your own business in terms of charging more for what you do.
Yeah, it's something about a book in society. I know I didn't make a big deal in my neighborhood when my book came out, but as word got out in the neighborhood, you know, it was interesting, you know, neighbors, I could see them like looking at me like from head to toe, like, oh my gosh, he's got a book out.
Yeah.
He must be smart. And I'm like, no, I'm still the same idiot playing ball with his kids on the front lawn, you know. But you're right, there's a tremendous credibility piece that comes with publishing a book, publishing articles, getting your name out there.
And yeah.
So, Andrew, I know you have a super, super website out there with great morsels of information. Could you tell us your website?
Sure. It's www.sittiginc.com, and I'll spell that S like Sam, ITTIGINC.com, sittiginc.com.
What are we going to find up on your site?
Oh, all kinds of good stuff. You can find the Blitz video, and actually one of the things that's kind of cool, if in the bottom right-hand side of the homepage, there's an icon of my new book, Power Referrals, which will be published in October. If you click on that, it goes to another website that's all about the book, and there are actually about 20 free downloads that are associated with the content in the book. Now, by themselves, they're not quite as valuable as if you also get the book and then you have the downloads. But even by themselves, it's still a lot of good information. And they're worksheets that help you complete and organize your thoughts around referrals. So that's a really neat piece of this book, is the free downloads that are mm-hmm. available.
Excellent. And Andrew, I know you have a webinar coming up with Business Expert Webinars. The 7 keys to effective business-to-business appointment setting, unlock your sales potential, and that's on September the 5th,
yes,
1:30 p.m. Pacific time. What am I going to learn?
You are going to learn specifically how to get past gatekeepers, how to qualify and disqualify prospects, how to overcome common objections, how to leave effective voicemail messages that actually get returned, and ultimately how to set that first appointment and start the sales process.
Wow. Good stuff. Good stuff. And who would you suggest attend your webinar?
Salespeople, entrepreneurs, sales managers, and small business owners.
Fantastic. Well, you can register for Andrea's webinar on businessexpertwebinars.com. In addition to Andrea's webinar, you'll find over 750 webinars on businessexpertwebinars.com. Andrea, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best way for them to do so?
They can reach me at 206-769-4886 or Andrea@sittiginc.com.
Andrea, thanks so much for joining us today.
You bet. Thank you.
Next week on Secrets of Business Gurus, Jim Bouchard, author of Dynamic Components of Personal Power, and you're not going to want to miss this one. We're going to be talking about power and personal success. Be there. I'm Lee Sauls. Join us again for more great interviews with business gurus and learn their secrets of success. Adapt and thrive, everybody.